Welcome to our Holden Village podcast. For over 50 years now, Holden Village has traveled a rich history of faith that has transformed a copper mining town into a vibrant place of education, programming, and worship. Holden has sought to welcome all who seek contemplation and community in the remote wilderness of the beautiful Cascade Mountains. We continue to invite people of all ages to come alongside our rhythms, which inspire and equip travelers for a sustainable life of faith outside the village. And we continue to listen and reflect on our story and history and seek to discover our place in God's creative mission in our world. Our podcasts are a way of sharing our conversations with our teaching faculty around reformation, the reforming of our relationships with the earth, with each other, and with the divine. Let's tune in and join the conversation.
My name is Michael Coffey. I'm the pastor of First English Lutheran Church in Austin, Texas. I've been the pastor there for about 11 years, and I've been in ministry for about 25 years. One of the areas of focus I've been trying to grow in and do better in is how the church can be a place where racial reconciliation can happen, where relationships can be formed, and where specifically the white church can address the issues of racism within the white church and society.
My name is Mark Washington. I am the former pastor of Vision of Hope AME Church in Austin, Texas. I was there in Austin for about 9 years, and during that course of my ministry, I had an opportunity to meet Michael Coffey, who is pastor at First English Lutheran Church, and our churches began a relationship based on some events that we'll talk about shortly. But I've been in ministry about 24 years now. I've pastored 3 churches throughout primarily the South in Texas. Most recently, I've relocated from Austin to Grand Rapids, Michigan. Currently serve as a city manager in Grand Rapids. And when I was in Austin, I was bivocational. I served as both pastor of Vision of Hope AME Church, African Methodist Episcopal Church, as well as assistant city manager for the city of Austin.
Yeah, so our overall theme is on congregations in interracial fellowship. So telling the story of our 2 congregations and how we came into an intentional fellowship relationship that happened after the Charleston shootings. And we wanted to respond to that with something more than one more opportunity to pray and light candles and cry and feel bad, but to think, how do we do something that has some meaning that would honor those 9 lives? And so we said, what would it look like if we were to enter into an intentional fellowship between my congregation, First English Lutheran, which is 98% white, and Vision of Hope African Methodist Episcopal Church, which is a black church, and say, what would it be if we were going to, over time, get to know each other, worship together, fellowship together, talk together, and see what might come of it without any big plan.
The Charleston shooting was a very unfortunate tragedy. When the shooter walked into Mother Emanuel AME Church in Charleston, South Carolina, and shot 9 victims on the night of the Bible study, that had our entire nation paralyzed. And at that time, we were searching for, number one, meaning with and from God. 2, searching for some solutions to prevent this from happening again. And some of that was, you know, physical things you could do to improve security in your church. But much of that had to require us finding a way to bring people together to live in harmony and unity. And when we began this dialogue among our congregations, it was really a much broader community call for racial justice and reconciliation. And as Michael said earlier, there were some people who came for that initial meeting and, you know, the public meetings. But what we wanted to have was a deeper relationship between our congregations. One, to try to get to know each other and to dispel what other myths or stereotypes, notions might exist. and to try to do not only good work among our congregations, but to see if there was an opportunity to create some meaningful relationships among parishioners. Through the process, I consider Michael now as like a brother. And the biblical passage that speaks about what men intend for evil, God uses for good, is exactly what has happened in this situation, but I do believe that there's a lot more good that can be done. There's a lot of other connections and relationships that need to happen that will only happen when people who are not used to talking to each other begin to connect with one another.
After, telling this story, which we hope is a potentially inspiring model for other churches, then we're talking about what I'm calling white people's work, which is the difficult work of talking about racism within the white church, within the white world, and that we have a lot of work to do together in order to see what we probably haven't always seen, to do the work within ourselves and in our communities, to learn how to be allies, and even how to go beyond just trying to deal with personal relational issues to being anti-racist. And what is the role of the church specifically in being anti-racist? So we've asked a lot of hard questions of ourselves. We had a good conversation and are trying to hold on to that uncomfortableness that has to be part of this, or else the rest of it really won't be what it needs to be. And then we're moving into then, well, what then can happen? What are the hopes for congregations in particular of different denominations and races to become what the church is called to be and in fact already is? We've been using a text that talks about unity and love, and that's Ephesians 4. And it talks about the different parts of the body and how they are held together. And it's been my belief that the church is already incredibly diverse, well, not, say, the ELCA, which I serve, which is predominantly white. But that's not the whole church. The whole church is an incredibly diverse body. But the parts of the body have not been well connected. And so the work, as I see it within the church, is to continue to find that connective tissue, which comes through both dialogue and fellowship and mutual advocacy and work for justice and addressing the issues in our society. So we want to hope to get to where people will have examples and be inspired to do this kind of work in their own congregations.
One of the important lessons that I gleaned from our relationship is that the leaders have to be intentional. So in order for it to get started, the pastors have to be bold in forging and pursuing a relationship with someone that's different. Pastor Coffey was exactly that. He initiated the conversation. He didn't know me. He reached out to several other pastors, but he was bold in doing that. And I don't think they had a vote. They didn't have a church meeting to discuss it. He just did it. And we began that dialogue. And so you had the leaders from both churches who were interested and committed to getting to know another congregation, another faith tradition. But I think the other lesson is the leaders have to initiate it, but the members have to engage in order to sustain it. Because it's not a sustainable congregational effort without engaging some of the leaders, other leaders within the church beyond the pastor. But I think it has to start there. I've seen models where, or seen efforts where it's initiated among the congregation, maybe a ministry or auxiliary, and then it's just that ministries are auxiliaries work. You see a lot of time with homeless efforts and shelters, and you have one group that are an adopted school program, and it never becomes the church's ministry. It becomes that board or auxiliary. So I think this is different. This is where every part of the church can engage, from the Christian educational ministry to the choir to young adults. This is something that is a opportunity for the whole church to engage in.
And I would say if there are, lay people who are motivated to address this and pursue this, and their own leadership, pastoral or otherwise, is not, then they can go and ask the questions, make a little noise, and say, why aren't we taking this more seriously, and how can we ignore such a profound and important issue in the life of our nation and in the church that we would not try to do something. So I think people can make some noise, ask some questions, and try to urge it along if it's not happening.
Thanks for joining us for another Holden Village podcast. Be sure to view the links in the description for more information or visit our website to find out more about the village. We hope you will make a pilgrimage to Holden. Blessings and peace to you.